I'm Carol Hills. This is The World. At some point, sooner or later, special counsel Robert Mueller is going to wrap up his investigation. Exactly when that happens is the subject of much speculation at the moment. But according to news reports, Mueller's team at the Department of Justice is getting ready to hand over its report to the new Attorney General, William Barr. What that report will say exactly and how much of it will even be made public, we don't yet know. But the nearly two-year-long probe into contacts between the Trump campaign and Russia has already told us a lot. The World's Matthew Bell has been following the story, and he's in the studio with me.
Hi, Carol.
And on the line with us from New York is Andrea Bernstein. She's a senior editor at WNYC and the co-host of the excellent Trump Inc. podcast. Thanks for joining us, Andrea.
So great to be with you.
Andrea, let's step back a minute and look at what's come out of Mueller's office so far. It was almost 2 years ago that the investigation was opened. Remind us of how it all began.
Well, it could have gone back even before the campaign when the FBI began to look into Paul Manafort. But specifically with the Mueller investigation, there were allegations during the campaign and after that Russians were interfering with the election and that there were possibly people around Trump that knew about it. That matter is still under investigation. But I think what is extraordinary is how much we know now that we did not know when Mueller was appointed. For example, the president's campaign manager, deputy campaign manager, national security advisor, and personal attorney have all been convicted or pleaded guilty to various crimes, including lying to Congress, bank fraud, tax fraud, and perhaps most startlingly, in the case of his campaign manager, former campaign manager Paul Manafort, conspiracy against the United States. So we've learned a tremendous amount through the indictments of almost three dozen people. Two-thirds of those are Russians, but of the ones who are left, the Americans are senior officials very close to Trump. And that's an extraordinary thing for us to be learning about the people who were once the closest aides to the president of the United States.
And about those Russians, Andrea, one thing that I keep hearing from people that I've been talking to is that the details of those indictments are maybe the most important stuff that we've seen coming from the special counsel's office. This is detailed stuff about individual Russian nationals and sort of how they interfered in the 2016 election. Here's an example. I talked to Seth Hatena. He's the author of Trump Russia, A Definitive History. He started digging into that story for the book in early 2017. And he says back then, a lot of people dismissed the whole Russia story.
You know, there are a lot of jokes about Rocky and Bullwinkle, Moose and Squirrel. Trump had laughed it off as that a 400-pound guy sitting on his bed in New Jersey could have staged the whole Russian interference operation. And now nobody takes that seriously anymore. And that's a result of Robert Mueller.
Andrea, of course, Trump now says that the Mueller investigation is all a big political witch hunt. How have you seen the response, the pushback from the Trump administration change and evolve over the last couple of years?
Well, I think it is really important to say that at this moment, when we are speaking in this sort of penultimate week of February, Mueller has not indicted anybody specifically inside the Trump campaign for colluding with the Russians. However, there have been an awful lot of indictments around that, including the Russian ones we were just talking about. His former campaign advisor, Roger Stone, is charged for lying about his to Congress about his communications or attempted communications with WikiLeaks. So there's an awful lot out there that we now know that I think it's pretty certain that it wasn't just a 400-pound guy in New Jersey. And, you know, we've gone through many, many sets of explanations. No collusion. At one point, the president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, said, well, if there was collusion, it wasn't Trump. I think he has since walked that back. But there have been a lot of defenses. And Rudy Giuliani has been quite open that his role is a political role and that his primary job is to discredit the Mueller investigation. And in fact, he and the president through his Twitter feed have been working overtime against that. I mean, nobody has been acquitted who's gone through the Mueller process. They've either pleaded guilty or are still on trial and fighting the charges. But he has so far an extraordinary record of racking up guilty pleas of very, very senior people in government and politics in connection with his probe.
Andrea, Mueller's mandate has been to focus on collusion with the Russians, but he's uncovered all kinds of dealings by people close to Trump in the meantime. Describe the branches of this tree. I mean, how big has the overall investigation into Trump grown?
Right. Well, so the charges that Paul Manafort was convicted of initially had to do with his own business relationships with Ukrainians and with Ukrainian oligarchs. But in the course of defending himself, he had contacts with people that Mueller said, or with a person that Mueller said in court filings was a suspected Russian intelligence asset. This individual, Konstantin Kalimnik, was just mentioned in a court hearing last week in which Mueller's prosecutors seemed to be still probing why he and Rick Gates and Paul Manafort had met during the campaign, the height of the campaign, August of 2016. What they discussed, was there an exchange of polling data? And one of the very interesting facts that came up in this court hearing was that Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, and the believed to be spy, Konstantin Kalimnik, all left the cigar bar where they were in Midtown Manhattan through separate exits, as if they were trying to hide the fact that they'd been together.
Some of it's so detailed, it's like ready for a screenplay here. But Andrea, the big question now is what comes next? What are you thinking about in terms of how to sort of place this final report in the context of the big story?
Well, I think it's important to say that we've heard nothing from Mueller's office. It's been an entirely locked box, no leaks, so far as I can tell. All the information we're getting about what's going on in Mueller's office seems to be coming from people who have been on the receiving end of questions or inquiries from Mueller's office. Nor have we heard from the new Attorney General, Attorney General Barr, about what his plans are about releasing what it is that Mueller may give him. So it is an open question what we are going to see and in what form. But what we do know is that there are the ongoing and as of yet unresolved court cases, the ones against the Russians and the court case against Roger Stone. And then in addition, prosecutors in the Southern District of New York are looking into Trump's business dealings. And the New York Attorney General is looking into the Trump Foundation. There are also some civil actions. There's one in Washington and Maryland looking into whether the Trump administration is violating the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution. So there are many, many trials yet to happen, investigations yet to be concluded that may give us further information about the president's business practices. And one of the things that we've learned is that his business and his campaign and his foundation, all his endeavors, in fact, seem to melt into each other. So if there's an investigation going on of one, the likelihood is that we'll be finding out information about another aspect of the Trump organization in the future.
Andrea Bernstein, co-host of the Trump Inc. podcast in New York. Thank you.
Thank you.
And the world's Matthew Bell. Thank you.
Thanks, Carol.